Roughly 13% of all public school students in the United States receive services from their school's special education systems. As these students make their way through high school, are they being challenged and encouraged enough to find success and satisfaction after graduation? According to the Hechinger Report, a nonprofit news organization focused on education, up to 90% of students with disabilities around the nation are capable of graduating high school on time with a traditional diploma. Despite this, only about 65% graduate on time, and when they do, they're not necessarily prepared for the next step. So what's happening here in Wisconsin? Daniel Parker is the assistant director of the special education team at the state's Department of Public Instruction. Daniel, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you, Rob. It's great to be here with you today.
Well, can you start by talking about what schools are required to do by law, as I understand it, to assist students with disabilities or other special educational needs?
Yes. So there's a federal law called the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, or IDEA, that requires that school districts first identify students with disabilities. It's a portion of the law that people refer to as child find. So school districts are looking for evaluating and identifying students with disabilities through a referral process. So parents can refer, teachers can refer, others refer, some school districts hold screenings and do other types of activities around child find so that there's a referral process. And then once the child is referred, the district is responsible for doing evaluation to determine whether or not a student has a disability and requires special education services.
And this could cover a lot of ground, anywhere from developmental disabilities to physical disabilities or learning disorders. There's a lot of different things that could fall under this. So obviously there's not like a one-size-fits-all approach that's going to work for every student here, right?
No, and one of the things that we really promote at the Department of Public Instruction is a comprehensive evaluation, so that when a referral is made, you're looking at all possible areas of disability. You're really getting understanding of the whole child. You're looking also at that student's strengths and assets that can help them in learning, as well as the areas that they need assistance. And a complete and thorough comprehensive evaluation looks at all of those factors. The Individuals with Disability Education Act does have some federally identified impairment areas. Such common ones people have heard of is specific learning disability, autism, intellectual disability are a few. But IEP teams, so the evaluation teams will look at which of those areas a student may qualify for, and if that student needs special education and specially designed instruction to be able to access, engage, and make progress in their general education program.
Before we dig deeper into how that works in Wisconsin, that report, that national report we looked at, mentioned that a number of states, over 20 states, have an alternative to the traditional high school diploma, often for people with disabilities, but it's controversial because it's not really equivalent in the eyes, say, of an employer or of a college. Do we have something like that here in Wisconsin?
So currently we do not have something like that in Wisconsin, and I know that we very much promote having students with disabilities, students who qualify for special education programs with an individualized education program or IEP, that they are provided the supports, the specially designed instruction, the accommodations that they would really need to be able to fully access, engage, and make progress in their general education program so that they can be on track to receive a traditional graduation degree and certificate.
And one concern, again, raised in this report at least, and in the minds of people too, is that is the focus here getting kids across the finish line, that being graduating, or is there enough focus on being prepared after graduation, whether that's college or a career? How does the state approach that?
Yeah. So in Wisconsin, our state superintendent, Tony Evers, has the vision of every student college and career ready. And, working on the special education team and before working at DPI, working for 15 years in the field supporting students with disabilities, students with IEPs, that's very near and dear to my heart. And when we think of every student, we're thinking of each and every student. And it's not important, the academic content is definitely important for students to learn to be successful after high school, But just as important, and this is not just for students with IEPs, but all students, is really making sure students also have the other college and career readiness skills and habits to be able to do well and participate in their communities and go on and live independently. So for students with IEPs, the law actually requires IEP teams to look at both academic and functional skills. And functional skills might be skills around social and emotional supports for students, adaptive supports for students, helping students around to be more independent. Self-determination is something that I hope we get a chance to talk about because it's so critically important to incorporate into the special education process so students really understand themselves as learners, are able to self-advocate for their own needs, are able to work through problems and discuss their abilities as well as their needs and seek out supports independently so that they're ready for, what lies next after they leave high school.
Talking to Daniel Parker, Assistant Director of the Special Education Team at Wisconsin's Department of Public Instruction, looking at individualized educational programs for students often with disabilities or special learning needs, how they work here in Wisconsin. Daniel, all the things you're talking about, this team approach, bringing people together, figuring out the students' needs and solving it, sounds great. It sounds like a lot of resources. It's labor intensive for schools that already, in some cases, are stretched thin. They've got a lot on their plates. Does it work out as well in practice as it does in theory?
Well, in my experience, it has. I mean, I'm very fortunate. I started my career in Lawrence, Kansas, in a traditional public school back in the 90s, and the first program I began working in education had students with autism who had significant communication needs. Many of them use alternative communication devices. They had very significant movement needs, falling to the floor, lots of behaviors that were explosive or, extremely, I always thought of special education, you have to be a problem solver and love problem solving to be able to, really work with families, work with the team to try to figure out students' needs. And, this is back in the 90s, and we were including those students with general education peers in traditional school programs. We were doing social skills groups with those students and working on skills around communication and engaging with peers. And it definitely is a lot of work, but, if you have a good system that is developed and good teams and knowledgeable staff, you're really able to do some pretty incredible things. We talk a lot about high expectations, and a lot of that, I think sometimes expectations is a social construct. One of the things I like to do with groups is to ask people, what did the world of people with disabilities look like 30 or 40 years ago? If you think back in time, and many of your listeners, I'm sure, are able to think back to their school experiences 30 or 40 years ago, and what was the expectations of somebody with Down syndrome, or what was the expectation, where were students with autism in the 1970s and the 1980s, where were they being educated? And when you do this, you often will have people talk about experiences where they didn't see students with disabilities in schools. Many students back in those days were institutionalized, and the expectations of what we thought was possible was so much different than today. And now, we have totally different experiences. We have early childhood inclusion programs. There's a beautiful video on our website of a district who is full inclusion early childhood program, and their parents talk about their child who they feared how they would be able to engage with other peers or what would people think if they were in school because their behaviors were so different and their needs were so different, but the team comes together and they can see their child learning all types of skills in that environment that were honestly not even thought possible years ago. And if you look today and you look at college programs even, I was actually sitting next to a gentleman, Dr. James Collins at UW-Whitewater, who started a brand new program at UW-Whitewater called UW-Whitewater Life Program, which is a program for students with intellectual disabilities to go to college at UW-Whitewater, live in the dorms, go to prep rallies, go to basketball games, do all the things all the other students do, go to leisure classes, and they also get additional supports in a college program. And those are Think College programs. Wisconsin actually has 5 Think College programs in Wisconsin for students with more significant disabilities, such as intellectual disabilities, autism, students with Down syndrome, or other commonly known disability types. And you know, in the 90s, even in the program I was in that was an inclusive program, you know, back then having students go to a public school was unthinkable, what was just happening and going to college might have been unthinkable, but today there's programs like this popping up all over the country. So I think our expectations have changed greatly over time, and we're realizing the great abilities that students with disabilities have when we provide them with that access and engagement and opportunity to participate with their grade level peers.
We're talking about students with disabilities, whether they're supported in high school classrooms and whether they're challenged in those classrooms and encouraged to aim high in their futures. Daniel Parker is with us, Assistant Director of the Special Education Team in the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you the parent or teacher of a student with disabilities? Are you seeing your child grow and learn and plan for the future? Are you a person with disabilities yourself? What was your school experience like? Did you feel like you had the support you need and that there were expectations that you would be shooting for the same level, the same degree, the same diploma everybody else was? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. We're talking about high school students with disabilities and whether they're being challenged enough in classrooms and thinking about their future, being prepared for maybe college or a career. Daniel Parker is with us, Assistant Director of the Special Education Team at Wisconsin's Department of Public Instruction. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you or were you a student with disabilities? What was your school experience like? Did you feel like you came out prepared for college, for a career? If you're a teacher, parent, friend, or sibling of a student with disabilities, love to hear from you too. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll go to our callers now. Paul is with us in Menominee Falls. Paul, hi.
Hi, thanks for the show. Great show. I just want to say I am a special ed teacher, and I work with middle school and high school students. And it would be nice if Mr. Parker would talk about the PTP, the post-secondary transition plan. One of the challenges that we find is that there aren't enough graduation alternatives for the high school students. The classes that are offered in the high school generally tend to be college prep classes. Some of them are applicable, but you find that you're really trying, especially for the students that have specific learning disabilities, that they're really just trying to keep their head above water to get that quote-unquote high school diploma and then move to a secondary, post-secondary kind of institution or some type of training so that they can, you know, move their career forward. So that's a challenge that we're finding, that there isn't enough flexibility at the high school level to do academic programming that's specific for the needs of the students because of the requirements of the 22 graduation credits that they have to have. And I'm sure that Mr. Parker is familiar with this and the challenges. Great show. Appreciate it.
Paul, thanks for the call. Daniel, what do you think?
Yeah, thanks, Paul, for that question. So a little bit about the post-secondary transition planning. So to give some background to your listeners, so high school teachers work with students and their families to develop a transition plan starting by age 14 in Wisconsin that must include a post-school education and training goal. So in other words, all high school students with an IEP must identify what education or job training they will need after high school to achieve their goals. So school services then support the desired post-school education and training by offering courses, transition services to prepare the student to be ready for higher education or on-the-job training listed in those post-secondary transition plans. So, you know, certainly districts in Wisconsin go about different ways of supporting students with disabilities with their post-secondary options in completing the graduation requirements. To my knowledge, there is some flexibility in how local school boards can also look at courses that meet the qualifications of what the state lays out for graduation requirements. So there are sometimes courses that school boards and districts will come up with that have alternative classes that meet the graduation requirements. So that might be something for districts to look into and what options they might want to consider to be able to do that. I also want, there's also a really great resource that our department funds through some federal special education discretionary funding called the Transition Improvement Grant, or TIG. So our Transition Improvement Grant has grant staff around the state of Wisconsin, and they are they work with the Cooperative Educational Service Agencies around Wisconsin as well. But because they're a grant through our department, through our special education team, they provide free technical assistance and supports. They have an amazing website of resources for transition planning. They have a transition planning app where students can help be more involved in their transition planning. They have lessons for teachers to help support the types of skills needed to help students move towards employment outcomes and be ready for high school, or I'm sorry, ready for post-secondary education after high school. So that could be a really good resource to look at that is available statewide. And they have regional coordinators, too, which is really nice. So if you contact the, if you go to the TIG website, you can find a coordinator that kind of knows your region of the state, knows some of the resources that are there, knows the school districts, and can help provide that more tailored, individualized support for educators or school districts looking to improve their programs.
Paul, thanks for the call. Go next to Christy with us in Manitowoc. Christy, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to tell us about, Christy?
Well, my daughter has dyslexia. She got no help.
In the schools, Christy?
Correct. So she's going to graduate. It's good. But the school really hurt her.
Well, I'm sorry.
By not helping. The school really hurt her by not helping her.
Christy, I'm sorry to hear your story. Good luck to you and your daughter. Christy, seeing her daughter with dyslexia, Daniel, not getting the help. So in the case of a student with dyslexia, what kind of support, what kind of boost could the school give?
Yeah. So, you know, one of the things I definitely want to encourage callers to know that there are federal protections for students with disabilities. The Department of Public Instruction has a number of mechanisms and how if parents or teachers have concerns about the educational programs that students have, definitely contact the Department of Public Instruction. There's a variety of options we have a Wisconsin statewide mediation system to other dispute resolution options where we do, we are actually authorized to do investigations around families or anyone on behalf of a child feels a student is not receiving the special education that the legal protections provide around the federal and state laws around special education. So I want to make sure people are aware of that availability to contact the department to find out what your options are if you feel that students aren't meeting it. The other thing is, one of the things that we have done in the last few years is we've really shifted our guidance on the IEP process to focus not just on compliance with the laws, because there's lots of regulations around timelines and processes, around parents being invited to the IEP meeting, certain things that must happen. But we've really we've looked at the trends nationally. We've looked at the trends in Wisconsin around the achievement of students with IEPs compared to their peers. And although we have increased in our ability to meet the compliance requirements of the laws, and when I say we, school districts have done a very good job of meeting the compliance requirements, we haven't seen the outcomes that we might want to see. So our guidance on IEPs, and we actually branded it College and Career Ready IEPs, Improving Student Outcomes for Students 3 through 21, really focuses on IEP teams getting good information about a student, including information that parents bring to the table, really having an in-depth discussion of why is this student struggling. So, you know, if a student is struggling with specific learning disability-related areas, what is that root cause? Why is that individual student? What are the needs that they have that are going to help them better access, engage, and make progress in their curriculum?
And I want to jump in, Daniel, and bring on one more caller before we're out of time. Jake is with us in Madison. Jake, hi.
Oh, yes, hello.
What do you want to tell us about, Jake?
Well, this is an interesting conversation. Thanks for having it. I am a college professor here in the Midwest, and as these students are, you know, creating these plans and coming through the high school system, we're increasingly seeing them, you know, in our classrooms and in higher ed. And one of the challenges we have there is that students are not always required, or not required at all, to self-disclose as any accommodations or any sorts of learning disabilities or challenges or things that might interfere with their learning. And so many times these students become embedded a semester or two in our systems before those challenges have, you know, translated into poor academics and other kinds of problems. And then
got it, Jake. I want to jump in just briefly, Daniel. Some good news there, seeing more students with special needs and making it to college is the next step, very briefly, to help them at that next higher education level, make sure their needs are met.
And right now, about 11% of students disclose as having a disability. And one of the big differences between college and K-12 education is in K-12, districts are responsible for identifying students with a disability and serving them. In college, as your caller said, they have to disclose. And I'm so happy your caller called, because one of the big pushes we're trying to encourage is IEP teams working with students with disabilities in K-12 should really help students build that self-determination.
And we'll leave it there. Thanks to Daniel Parker, Assistant Director of the Special Education Team at the State's Department of Public Instruction.